For the last 40 years or so, popular entertainment is glorified with a National Review editor Richard Brookhiser calls the numinous Negro. Given how blacks were depicted in the past, it's understandable that artists would overcompensate in the other direction. But this is a broader cultural trend encompassing politics and policy as well. The Congressional Black Caucus, for the most part a motley collection of extreme left-wing politicians, dubs itself the conscience of the Congress for no discernible reason other than its members' racial identity. White liberals are perfectly happy to perpetrate this perception, partly out of guilt, partly out of somewhat cynical calculation that allows them to appear noble as the self-appointed defenders of black America. But most white liberals, and black ones too, subscribe to a philosophical orientation which insists that blacks are in some significant way better. Certainly this is objectively true among such quintessentially fascist black supremacists as Louis Farrakhan and the black raceologist Leonard Jeffries. Indeed, across the Afrocentric and black nationalist left, bizarre and ahistorical fantasies proliferate about the superiority of ancient African civilization, about white conspiracies to erase black history and the like. The similarity to Nazi mythology about the mythic Aryan past is not superficial. One of the few places in America where you can be sure to find the protocols of the Elders of Zion is Afrocentrist bookshops. And again, both the Nation of Islam and the Back to Africa movement express some ideological affinity with Nazism and Italian fascism, respectively. Even on the liberal left, where these poisonous notions are far more diluted, it's axiomatic that there is something inherently and distinctly good about blacks. How so? Well, it must be so. If you buy into the various doctrines of multiculturalism and identity politics, you already believe that blackness is distinct, immutable, and unchanging. Once you accept this logic, and the left obviously does, you are then left with a fairly simple choice. If race is not neutral, if race matters, as Cornel West says, then how does it matter? Given the choice between assigning a positive value or a negative value, liberals opt for the positive. Positive discrimination forms the backbone of our racial spoil system. Gone are the days when affirmative action was justified solely on the grounds put forward by Lyndon Johnson of helping blacks or addressing historical injustices. To be sure, these arguments still loom quite large for many liberals, and that is to their credit. But they have been subsumed into a larger creed of multiculturalism, and liberals fall back on the rhetoric of racial damage, that is, affirmative action is necessary to fix what's been done to blacks, only when affirmative action is under threat. This is the breakwater for a vast coalition of the oppressed that relies on the core logic of black entitlement to empower a sweeping cultural and political agenda under the rubric of diversity. So long as blacks are in need of special treatment, the coalition has the political leverage for us-too politics. In a racial spoil state, this sort of tragedy of the commons was inevitable. Feminists, following in the wake of blacks, also wanted special treatment. Hispanic leftists copied the same model. Now homosexuals argue they are in nearly every meaningful sense the moral equivalent of blacks.